You got five generation babies, you got King Asa. And when Abijah slept with his father, King Asa reigned in his stead. And this man did things which were right and good in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave him rest. Now, I don't want to look at rest today. We're trying to use King Asa with the aspect of the land having rest, as told in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. But there's something else about King Asa that I want to know right quickly. You know, whenever the Ethiopians came upon him, I want to tell you how many there were. It says there was 1,000,000. And if I understand math right, that's 1,000,000. 1,000,000 of those Ethiopians had come up to King Asa. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, O Lord, it is nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us. Now he was bold and humble at the same time. It's a difficult thing, brethren, but that's what King Asa was doing. He says, no big chore for you, God. The three Hebrew children said, it's no big thing for you to deliver us out of burning fire and furnace. But if you do, it's by your grace, because we don't deserve it. You see that? It's kind of a difficult standpoint. If you do, it's by the grace, because I didn't ever earn it. But it's no big deal for you to do it. You can deliver us out of a burning fire furnace. You can deliver us out of a multitude of these Ethiopians, which is 1,300 chariots. Or with them that have no power, help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. We ought to rest on thee. We'll cease from our own works and rest on the Lord. In thy name we go against this multitude. He's a little bit bold there. We're going to go against that multitude in thy name. Lord, if you're not with us, we won't even stand before them. But if you are with us, we're going to go after them. There's another one I want to get right quick, and Brother Woods has already had to listen to me about this point, and it's about Caleb. Caleb means a dog, and he's got a particular characteristic about him also. But in Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, after he had been 40 years out in that desert, being tried for his works, or tried for his faith, he went up to Joshua and said, give me now mine inheritance, Joshua. And I, with the help of God, will run out those Anakims. Anakims were giant people. Mm-hmm. He said, I, with the help of God, will run out those Anakims in the Mount Hebron, or Kirjath Arba. That's a bold man. But yet he was still acknowledging the grace of God. I acknowledge you this morning, the grace of God. You know, I can do that by experience. The Bible just confirmed it. But how many experiences I have is by the grace of God that he went before me and drove out the enemy really when I thought I might have been doing it. You know, there's another account there. Gideon had too many men over there. God peered down. He said, tell all that want to go back, just go back. We had 32,000 and 22,000. They went back to their tents. There's a bunch of them. And he said, you still got too many, Gideon. He said, I don't want you saying that it was y'all that delivered yourself. I don't say it was me that delivered him. He cut him down to 300 men and drove out the enemy before him. Yet I'm still looking for these people that are bold and humble at the same time. How we ought to be while we sojourn here in time. I've already given the glory to Christ as I should have in the beginning of my discourse, but I'm talking about practical things right now. Now I want to jump over in 2 Chronicles 15. Verse 17. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all the day. Now, there's a word on that, perfect. Right there. Now, what does perfect mean to you, or perfection? What does it mean to you? Paul told us there in Hebrews 6, he said, let us go unto perfection. In the third verse, he said, this we will do if God permit. Still acknowledging the grace of God. But let us go on unto perfection. And that means completion. Perfect means complete. Well, King Asa's heart was complete. He was born of the Spirit of God, but yet he had exercised something that God had given him an ability to do, to perfect his heart. And he ran out a million Ethiopians, and he said they feared the Lord. I can fear the things of the world. I can fear the Lord. But if I fear the Lord, I don't fear the things of the world. If I fear the things of the world, I forget about the Lord. Right. See the situation we can get into too many times? You fear the things of the world, you're going to forget about the Lord. But if you fear the Lord, you haven't got anything to worry about out there. And it won't even bother you. But it said they feared the Lord, and they just ran out those Ethiopians, a million of them. It said King Asa's heart was perfect in sight of the Lord. Now later on, I want down in 17 verse 9, I believe it is. And said his heart, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect. Whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, what happened? King Asa's heart wasn't perfect toward the Lord anymore. You know why? King Baasha, the king of Israel, had come and built a high place in Ramah against King Asa, and he made a covenant with another king of another land, of Syria, and God turned away from him. God no longer blessed King Asa because his heart wasn't perfect in the sight of the Lord. His heart wasn't perfect in his sight. So that he turned away from the Lord, and that he went and allied with somebody else to have the king of Israel. His heart wasn't perfect anymore. And the Lord runs to and fro looking for those whose hearts are perfect. Now, I want to pick up David while I'm over here. Psalm 37:37. He says, mark the perfect man. Mark the perfect man. And behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Now, if you want to have peace, brethren, and I think we all do, we want to have in the church of God, we want to have peace, you got to mark the perfect man. You've got to be perfect in the sight of the Lord. You've got to walk in uprightness as an obedient child of God, as he's given you the grace and the ability to do so, acknowledging God before you. It's difficult, brethren. It's very hard for me. I've already told you I'd like to be reproved, instructed, or corrected. But nevertheless, when my pastor, Elder Barrington, does that to me, I need it. And sometimes it's a goad that sticks me. The words of wise are goads and nails fastened by the masters of assembly. Sometimes it's a goad that sticks me, and sometimes it comes along and nails back up when I'm all torn open. When your pastor does it for you, it's good for you, brethren. And it also takes a perfect heart on your part to accept that kind of thing right there. I want to get over the New Testament, and as Brother Bo and I were talking about, if you get over the Old Testament, you better get back to the New Testament before you're finished, or vice versa, so that you can confirm these types and shadows with the reality. Because Christ is our reality, and there's many types and shadows over there. I always use this illustration. The sun was over here, and I cast a shadow over there. You could jump on that shadow, you could pour water on it, or anything you want to, but it never would affect me, because it's not me. But it is bearing an image of me, but it's not me. All right, I need 1 John chapter 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. John told us to do something. Now, I don't want to take away what Brother Cooper said last night. He said the eternal government is on Christ's shoulders, Isaiah 96. It was on his shoulders, because I can't bear it. There's not a man living today that can ever bear that government. But John told us if we keep his commandments. And hereby we know that we in him, and if we keep his commandments, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, the liar, and the truth is not in him. Whoso keepeth the word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Well, therefore, you can perfect the love of God right there by keeping his commandments. Hereby know we that we are in him. You can perfect the love of God. But John has more to say about that over in the 4th chapter. He said, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, this is what the apostles testifying to me. Whoso shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I want you to hear me right close. Jesus is the Son of God. You know what you can be assured about me? God dwelleth in him, and he in God. If I acknowledge that, but if my ways and my words ever fail to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be sure that God's not in me and I in him. Vice versa. I get Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation them in Christ Jesus, which walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm saying to you, it's possible for me to walk after the flesh, and I think I do it every day. But it's also possible for me to walk after the Spirit, and that's what I should do. If we so much live in the Spirit, we also walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit also. The final perfect the love of God means that he has, and we have known and believed the love of God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, if we dwell in God. Walking after the Spirit. Have a perfect heart before him, acknowledging his grace, and yet being bold about our service. I've been criticized about my boldness, but if I thought it was God-honoring, I didn't ever apologize for it or really worry about it too much.
Bold in the Lord.
Because when, I had some neighbors come over on Sunday morning, and I said, well, you want to go to church with me? No, we don't want to go to church with you. Well, excuse me while I go. If I was being bold about it, but I was glorifying God in the aspect of it, I don't worry about hurting their feelings. Well, that's where I should be that Sunday morning. That's where I should be that Sunday morning. And a lot of these things right here, you're bold about them. If you're glorifying God, that's what you should be doing. You're going to get persecuted about it. Now, you got two choices. You can be whipped by God for not doing what you should do, or you can be persecuted by the world for doing what you should do. It's a difficult situation. I'm not going to make any bones about it. It's hard. It's a difficult situation. But if I want to perfect the love of God in me, I've got to keep His commandments. Herein is the love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Now, I've already told you, if you fear the world, you're going to forget about God. But there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. If the love of God is perfected in you, you have no fear about the things of the world. Now, if I ever get fearful about men or things of the world, I might better take a little bit of reevaluation. Maybe Brother Barrington might have to take a go again and stick me with it. They get along, cheap. If I ever start fearing the things of the world, you better be sure that the love of God is not perfected in me. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in the love. Now, that's just love right there. You know what James had to say about it? It's talking about the perfection of faith. But you know, I tried to use this subject one time looking at Job, and I might touch on it here briefly. In James 5 and 11, he says, you've heard about the patience of Job. Well, that's how I found out Job had patience, that particular word. You've heard about the patience of Job. You can get over and read the account about Job. Job did nothing to bring upon him the affliction that he had, take away his natural family and his prosperity. Satan did that to him. But you know something that Job did? He brought forth some fruit. He brought forth some fruit. James said, you've heard about the patience of Job. You know what Job did? He perfected his patience. He did a little bit of perfection right there, completion of what was already in him, and he brought forth the fruit of perfection. And it was called patience. A lot of times, people come up to me and they'll talk about, I don't know how so-and-so does put up with certain things that he has to put up with, and all the things that come against him, and I wonder if they've even read about Job. And I just don't know how so-and-so puts up with that. And when I say, well, it's called patience, they don't particularly like that answer, but that's the truth of it. That's what Job brought forth, was the fruit of patience. I've already told you we bring forth the fruit of love. Here Job brought forth the fruit of patience, and I see myself, I'm kind of short on that fruit right there. I think sometimes the Lord goes out there to gather that fruit. And me of patience, he tends not to find it there. When I fall short of patience that I should have exercised and practiced as a godly person, as an obedient child of God. Well, James has something to say about these things. James chapter 2. He says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well, and the devil also believe in him. Sometimes people tell me, all I got to do is believe. I said, yeah, I'll believe with Satan then.
Yeah.
I just believe in God, I'll believe with Satan. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Now, God gives you the ability. He gives you that gift of faith in your heart by the inward circumcision or regeneration or born of the Spirit, however you want to call it. And God gives you that faith in your heart. He said, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You got to draw that faith out a little bit by walking after the Spirit, by perfecting your heart, by completing yourself as an obedient child of God. Now, a child of God is not complete is a disobedient child of God, the way I label him. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with works, and works with faith made perfect. Made perfect. Seest how faith wrought with works, and by works was faith made perfect. Abraham perfected his faith. He perfected his faith. Why? He didn't withhold himself when he offered up Isaac. He was commanded to do so. Offered up Isaac. He was commanded to do so. He made faith perfectly. The just shall live by faith. Last night, Brother Cooper talked about false prophets. And in fact, he is the one who inspired me about trying to study that out. And I'll give you a rule of thumb. If you ever wonder if I'm a false prophet, all you got to do is prove me by this.
Amen.
So all you got to do is prove me by that. And if you think I'm wrong, I've already told you I like to be instructed, proved, or corrected. But yet, if you've got scripture right, come to me and instruct me more perfectly in the ways of the Lord. That's what a fool and facility of Apollos. Eloquent man, able in the scriptures, but they instruct him more perfectly in the ways of the Lord. You've got scripture reading, come to me and instruct me more perfectly. By the measure of this right here.
Amen.
And that's one way you can measure if I'm a false prophet. And God forbid I tell an ungodly I wouldn't say the truth in his name. God forbid I do that. Because when I turn on my radio, those people have got multitudes following them. But I don't think they're preaching the truth.
Yeah.
And I'll label them a false prophet. False means something that's not true. They're not true according to the teachings of this Bible. But they've got multitudes following them. You know, we might use the excuse, well, we're just a minority, but we're supposed to be few there be to find it. Well, as Brother Cooper pointed out one time, God didn't ordain it that way. He said the reason we're few in numbers is because of false prophets. And the only way I'm going to be able to, when someone comes to me and asks me about something, the only way I'm going to be able to refute what that false prophet said, I've got to be smarter than he is. Brother Bowen was telling about some people came to his door one time, and they got kind of tired of him and just left because he knew better. He knew better. I've tried to use it this way. If you know better, somebody just can't pull it over your eyes. Some of your sisters have been sewing for 30 years, and some young singer sewer comes out to you and tells you you're doing it wrong. Well, you know better. You don't pay him no mind. You know better. He's not going to change what you've been doing all these 30 years. Well, the same thing, they come to my door and they tell me 1 John 5:7 is not in the original manuscript. I can say, well, you've never seen the original manuscript. There aren't any existing this day. And I can say, well, they were in the Syriac manuscript, but they weren't. But we don't have any of those today. Man, you've got the Codex Vaticanus, Codex Sinaiticus, and all this stuff don't mean much to me or you either. But the thing is, they can't take that verse out of this Bible. And if they take it out of this Bible, eventually they've got to take it out of my mind. If you know better, they can't take those sort of things away from you. That's the only way a false prophet can get ground on you. If he knows better than you do. If he's got the eloquent word, and he's got something to back him up, and you just don't know any better, he's going to take it away from you. He's going to rob you of a lot of perfection you might have had in this world. Right. Now, few there be that find it, it's because the false prophets right after that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. That was the beginning of a new paragraph, but I'll take it in context anyway you get it. He said, beware of false prophets, which come in sheep clothing, but inwardly ravening wolves. I got this from Brother Cooper. He said, a ravening wolf, somebody to slaughter the whole flock when one sheep would have filled him up. You see, that false prophet just want to slaughter the whole flock of God when one would have filled him up. One would have filled him up. They want to get to all the multitude out there. We're fighting against principalities and powers of the air. It's Satan. I'm not your enemy. And no man's your enemy. It's Satan that's your enemy. But you got to do more than just believe, because he believes God too.
Yeah.
He believes in God. You got to perfect the love, and you got to perfect the patience. Now, Ephesians 4 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, if any of these brethren have a gift, you recognize it, because there's a reason for it. He gave some apostles, which means one sent for, some prophets, which means a public expounder, some evangelists, which spread glad tidings, some pastors and teachers, and according to grammar, pastors and teachers are the same thing. Your pastor is your teacher, and it's not your psychology teacher at school. I remember one time had a younger brother. He asked me to come over. He said, you're confused about a lot of things. And I said, yeah, I remember 7 years ago when I was your age, I was confused too. And he said, but you know, when my philosophy teacher, my English teacher say things, it just confuses me. And he had words like ego and superego and conscious and subconscious. And I said, David, I don't know about much about what they say about those words, but I can tell you some better words, and that's soul and spirit. And if they're trying to discern those things, I don't want to tell you how difficult it is to discern the soul and the spirit. It is for me. And I'll take Hebrews 4 and 12. It says, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the body. Spirit, even divide soul and spirit, joints the marriage and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. I said, I can't understand the soul or the spirit. God can. Oh, I spent an hour and a half telling him I didn't know. Have you ever done that? You spent an hour and a half telling somebody you didn't know? But all the time I tried to point back to someone who did know. You know, that's our comfort and our eternal security in these days. That's the comfort. But the thing that came to step on my toes is what I should be doing in his service. Unto perfection. But anyway, some of these false prophets or teachers have been snowing him. And I told him it's one of the best psychology books that are on the market. And if you don't have one, buy it. It's a book of Proverbs. Yeah. It's good enough for you parents, grandparents, and your children, but it's the best psychology book I've ever seen.
Amen.
And it's only 24 pages long. It'll teach you everything you need to know. Sometimes I think God's people are more concerned with what thus saith the doctor rather than thus saith the Lord. The doctor just don't know everything he needs to know, but the Lord does.
Amen.
And I'm talking about something we can attain to perfection or completion. whether it be health, whether it be peace in the church, whether it be love of the brethren, it matters not, as long as we're in the service of God, seeking His wisdom. And I mean in a bold way. Boldly, because we know He's got the word of the truth for us. The disciples said, Lord, where should we go? They don't have the word of eternal life. We're not going to turn back from you. You got the word of eternal life. You better believe what those disciples said. He's got the word of eternal life. He's got the things that we need. Still in Hebrews 4, He gave some pastors and teachers for perfecting of the saints, edifying and body of Christ. Until we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The stature and fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children talked about and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftsmen, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I'm not telling you to swallow everything I'm saying. Be not the faith of Bereans, and search the scriptures daily. See if these things be so. They are so to me. What little I've been able to see out of scripture, they are so to me. But the ministry for the perfecting of the saints, yes. And you don't have to be carried and thrown about by every wind of doctrine. Everything you hear by a false prophet, and if what I say is wrong, I'm a false prophet, you need to just cast it aside. As one of our able ministers said, just eat the chicken and throw away the bones. Sometimes I think I throw a lot of bones out before God feels, but all you got to do is throw them in the sack and the garbage. That's all you got to do with them. Search these scriptures daily and see if these things be so, and you don't have to be carried around about every wind of doctrine. Here it is, 3/4 of it's written to the man of God. Now I want to get that other verse over there. 2 Timothy 3:17. That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I hear that quoted thoroughly furnished, but that's all right. I'll take that too. But I want all the way through. All the way through. If you're born of the Spirit of God, just take that old earthen vessel that get in broken that old light shines forth. Get it all the way through that light shines forth. People will call you peculiar people. That's what you're supposed to be called. People will look at you and say, that's a peculiar people. Them primitive Baptists, hard shells. They don't call you what they want. They don't call you what they want. But if you let that light so shine that other men might see your good works, they might glorify God. But they might glorify God. That's the only hope I got up here this morning. If I let my light so shine that you might glorify God. Forget about this man standing before you that might be a false prophet if what he says is true. That you might glorify God. If I let my light so shine that others might see my good work and might glorify God. Glorify God. Our whole work of obedience is to cause God's people to glorify God. And that makes me feel good. That makes me feel good. Maybe He might smile upon us. My wife, I try to give her credit for everything she said. She says a lot of things. Behind any good minister, you've got to be a good wife. But if I didn't have her, I don't know where I'd be. But she said, a lot of times when I think about the afflictions that people go through and have such a hard time, and I really don't think they deserve it, sometimes I think that they are hoping that the Lord might say, come on home, thou good and faithful servant. You kept the faith, you fought the battle all those long years. That's what He said to Job. You've done all these things. He gave Job back his prosperity double. Gave back his family double. He gave it all back to Job, took away his affliction bodily. And that Job might see the pleasing smile of his Lord as an obedient child of God, bring forth the fruit of patience unto perfection. That the Lord might smile and be pleased and said, thou good and faithful servant. And that's what our hope ought to be while we're sojourning here in time, that He might say, thou good and faithful servant. You kept the fight. You fought a long, hard battle. And it was a hard one. And it's going to be a hard one for you. It's going to be a hard one for you while you're sojourning here in time. But the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's talking about these right here. He might be perfect. Perfect in knowledge. Perfect in a lot of things. Perfect in knowledge for one of them. This will give you a lot of knowledge right here. I tell you, this will put down any college textbook I ever tried to read. I don't think God wrote this. I know He wrote it. No man could have put together some beautiful, harmonious book. And we see others on the market fastly outselling. I'd like to talk to you about 4 hours on that. Because this is the book right here, 1611 King James Translation of the Bible. If you can't see the harmony and perfection in it, pray that God might give it to you. That you might be perfect in knowledge. For the false prophets can't turn you away from these things. That you might have peace and prosperity in the church. And I'll be honest with you, I'm glad to see that. Peace and prosperity in the church. I'm glad to see that. As a young man, I hated faction and I hate division. And I hate to be the cause of it. God forbid that I ever would. And I'm glad to see that peace and prosperity and courage here. And if we keep our attention on the Lord and we have a perfect heart, we'll always have it.
Amen.